In different translations of this same scripture, it says in the Amplified, or he who encourages in the act of encouragement. In the Common English Bible, if your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. And in the Complete Jewish Bible, it says, if you're a counselor, use your gifts to comfort and to exhort. And the Contemporary English Bible says, if we can encourage others, we should encourage them. And the Easy to Read Bible, I'm encouraged that there's so many different Bibles out there. The Easy to Read Bible says, whoever has the gift of comforting others should do that. And God's Word translation says, if it's encouraging others, devote yourself to giving encouragement. And then the Phillips Bible says, if our gift be stimulating of the faith of others, let us set ourselves to do it. And then the Living Bible says, if you're a preacher, see to it that your sermons are strong and helpful. Don't you want to be encouraged when you come on Sunday morning instead of beaten to death? You know, like, I remember being in a church where the pastor, like, it was just like, you go there and you'd crawl out on your hands and knees, you foul sinner, you. And it was like, well, I want to come back again, and I want to invite my friends to be beaten like this, too. You got the Word of God. The Word of God is empowering, and it's encouraging. And sure, it's corrective, but God has a way of correcting it way different than us. Don't you think? So if you're a preacher, you should be an encourager, an exhorter. The Message version says, if you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. I love, it just seems like that the Message version is kind of right down, you know, like, so you might be encouraging, but don't get bossy, okay? And then New Life version says, if somebody has the gift of speaking words of comfort and help, he should speak it, she should speak it. The Jewish Orthodox Jewish Bible says, one who imparts strengthening encouragement should be active in that ministry. You should be doing it all the time. And then the Worldwide English Bible says, if a person can talk to others, he must talk to others. And the Voice Bible says, if you have been given a voice of encouragement, then use it often. And the Wycliffe Bible says that he that stirreth softly in admonishing, he that stirs softly in exhortation or admonishing. We should be encouragers. I look at Golgotha, and I know it was a horrible, horrible scene of death, but I see three crosses, and those crosses are plus signs to me. I see this as positive. I see that what God has done for us through his Son Jesus Christ is positive for us. I see that because of that, we can live this life abundantly. We can live alive. We can live not positive in the phony way, like hallelujah, everything's going bad and I'm just so blessed, hallelujah, because I'm being a martyr. No, not that way. But you can say that all things work together for good because God causes that. Now, sometimes it's the last half hour. Sometimes it's the last 22 seconds of that last half hour. But I'll tell you something, if you're faithful to him, he's faithful to you. And I've even found when I wasn't that faithful to him, he was still faithful to me because he loves and he does it unconditionally. So you need to draw from that bank that Christ has already provided for you, and you need to start walking in this positive kind of an attitude. And it's not positive thinking, it's taking the Word of God as truth. And the truth will set you free. Set you free to sleep at night. I just thought, you know, there's no use me being up and God being up because he's up all night anyway. I might as well sleep, and he's the only one that can do something about my problems. Do you know that? So go to sleep. Not now, but go to sleep. Just start to rest in him. When the anxiety builds, don't let it take over. Don't let it become the manipulator of your mind, of your soul, of your spirit even. Don't let that happen. Just take God at his word, and he said that he would give you life and give you that life abundantly, and you can walk in that in your soul, your spirit, and your body. You believe that? We need to live that. So here's this guy. His name is Barnabas. Actually, his name was Joe. That's right. I'll show you that in a minute. He's called the son of encouragement. Acts chapter 4, and it starts here in about verse 34 and a half. It says, from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Isn't that an interesting thing? They just kind of pulled it all together, and everybody got what they needed. There wasn't this is mine, and this is yours. And I had a neighbor one time, and we prayed him into the neighborhood right next door. It was a miracle of God that he got the place because he didn't have any money. He didn't have a job, and he was able to buy this new house. And right next door to us, and he came over to me one day, and he says, he went to our church. He says, what's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours. And I said, that's fine, but you don't have anything. So in other words, all that I have is yours. And it was, and that's not the way it works, okay? It's just that God has, he's made it abundantly, made each one of us abundantly blessed so that we can share with others. But that doesn't give somebody a license to come. And this guy used to come, and I had a big Gravenstein apple tree. And they're beautiful old type of apples. Some of you may know what they are, but they're just a beautiful, and they grow really big. And I used to get the newspaper. And this guy, because I worked shift work, I'd be away on the job, and he would come into my yard right next door, and he would take an apple off the tree, and then he'd take my paper, go home and read it. I really wanted to kill him, but that's not good. It doesn't look good on your resume later if you want to be a pastor. But he drove me nuts, and he did this forever. And so then I thought of other things. I'll cut down the apple tree, and I'll quit the paper. Like, that was the guy that said, everything that you have is you know, mine, and everything that I have is yours. He didn't have an apple tree, and he didn't get the paper. And I had to learn that you just keep on giving. This guy's name is Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, from whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. His name is Joel. And then I thought, well, maybe he's the son of a guy who is encouraging. But he's the son of encouragement itself. Isn't that awesome? There's the Son of God, who's a spitting image of God the Father. That's Jesus, of course. And this guy's a spitting image of encouragement. Have you ever been in a place, in a room, when somebody walks in and just sucks the oxygen right out of the room? Like, they just suck life and everything out, and you go, oh. And then there's the other person that walks in, and the whole room lights up, and it breathes life, and you can't wait to just connect with this person or just sit there because they're just so full of life, and they're alive. And that person is an encourager. How about the people, and this happens too much, the people that discourage you, you don't want to see them. You don't want to see them at any public family event. You know, you haven't seen them for a long time, but you know the first words out of their mouth, but why, you're sure gained a lot of weight lately. Isn't that wonderful? Like you just want to spend more time with them. You don't even want to go. Sometimes I hesitate because I know exactly. And so it just happened just the other day. It's in a bunch of people I hadn't seen for a long time, and this one guy says, phew, you haven't gained a pound or since I've seen you last. In other words, I was pretty large then. I says, oh, you must have seen me when I was skinny. Ha, 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 ha. You know how you try to get out, you feel like smacking them, but it's in a Christian setting. So you're not to be pugnacious, but you can be like Nehemiah, where he punched him out and pulled the hair out. I don't know how that fits in there, laying hands on Nehemiah style. But it was just like, why did you have to say that? So I just said, you know, I'm speaking on encouragement in a couple of days, and I'm not going to use you in a positive way. And then we laughed about some other things. But you know what? People drive you nuts. It can be family. You know? Well, you see, you're getting old. Well, yeah, you either get old or you get dead. Like, it's good to get old, okay? Oh, you haven't got as much hair as you have. So what? I got lots of my ears I never had for a long time. My back looks like a sweater. Do you want to go into that? Like, I want to show you under my arms. I got lots of hair, just not where you can see it. But it's just like, or, whoa, that's, those are weird colors that you're wearing together in your clothes. Like, I don't care. I dress myself and I like it. It's just like those people aren't life-giving. And so you try to avoid them and you try to encourage them if you're an encourager. So it says, so Joseph, this guy Joseph was the son of encouragement. So everywhere he went, people liked to hear him. People liked him to be around. So he sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Just sold that, boom. Sold a house in Richmond. Got a fair chunk of money, brought it, and put it into ministry. No fanfare, nothing. Obviously, it made an impact because it was in Scripture. And we also read about Ananias and Sapphira who did the same thing, and they weren't encouragers. They kind of messed up in this situation. Encouragers are people who don't look at themselves, they look at everyone else. Now, that doesn't mean you need to neglect yourself, but you need to have a bigger picture. Think about the people in Fort McMurray. We have brothers and sisters there. We had two Pentecostal churches there. Sounds like the town site is pretty well contained, and now the fire's moving away from the community, but there's, last report, and maybe it's been updated, but there's 1,600 dwellings, homes that have been burnt right to the ground. Everything, can you imagine everything? But there's some encouraging stories as well. And one couple went to, I think it was Edmonton, and they came in with just the clothes on their back, and somebody gave them a townhouse, filled it with food, filled it with clothing, gave them a credit card, gave them everything so that they could start again. That's encouraging. That's encouragement. I want to go there. I want to hug them. I want to encourage them. Because they're in trouble. Everything in this world that they had owned, they're able to escape with their lives, but everything else was left there. So, another story about Barnabas is in chapter 26, or chapter 9, and verse 26. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. You know who that is? Paul. Paul had just killed a whole bunch of Christians, just stoned Stephen. He just had made a really big name for himself as the opposite to anything alive in the church. And so he gets converted powerfully, but nobody trusts him. Isn't that an interesting thing? Nobody believes his testimony. He just kind of think maybe he's just kind of like a mole trying to sneak into the church now so he can have better effect in the negative way. Nobody, it says. Everyone was afraid of him, believing that he was not really a disciple. But Barnabas, the son of encouragement, took him and brought him to the apostles. Hey, Barney, there's a guy here that's really bad. And nobody likes him. Well, I'll go have coffee with him. Barnabas went there because Barnabas could see into this person's soul. He could see Jesus. And he knew that he needed a chance. He needed to be loved. He needed to be encouraged. And just think, Barnabas never knew that when he went beside him that he would write most of the New Testament or a lot of it. That wasn't the deal. Encouragers don't look at, well, you know, if I can connect with this guy and he's got a good testimony, it'll make me look good. The encourager doesn't care about that. The encourager wants to get that person in a place where they can be fully used by God and fully involved in the family of God. So Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples or the apostles. Just think about that kind of meeting. That would have been a little tough. Hey, Who's your friend? Oh, Paul, you probably heard of him. Actually, his name is Saul. He got changed. Oh, yeah, we know him. What is he doing here? What are you doing with him? Why are you hanging out with that kind of person? Don't you have any discernment? They said that to Jesus, too. If he only knew who was touching his feet, if he only knew who this person was, if he only, well, come on. He does know because he created her. He does know because he walked with her. He does know because he cast a bunch of demons out of her. He knew her, just like Barnabas knew Saul. And he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. I tell you, I am so impressed when God reaches down and picks up somebody, and myself included, and just picks you up and dusts you off and says, you don't have to walk with your head stooped down any longer. You don't have to walk with darkness fearing, clouding you, and you're walking in fear. You do not have to walk anymore like that, because I have come into your life and you are alive in me. And you are mine. I've adopted you. Can you imagine that? God adopts each one of us. We are his choice. And think about it. Some of us wouldn't choose us. You might not choose yourself because you know all about yourself. Jesus sought you out. He knows all about you, and he loves you, and he cares for you. Jesus is the Son of God, but he's also encouragement. So in verse 28 says, so Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. There you are. And so they tried to kill him. They tried to kill Barnabas too. So you can preach the gospel and you can be doing all that God wants, and there's still this team that doesn't want you to live. And that's the story of Christianity, is that you have to lay your life down. And it might not be physically, it might not be actually happen, might not be literally, but you need to lay your life down and die to yourself and come alive to Christ. And Barnabas was willing to do that. He's willing to hang out with Saul. Now, of course, when Saul got on 700 Club and 100 Huntley Street and he wrote a bunch of books and he was doing seminars all, then everybody wanted to be with Saul. But Barnabas, the son of encouragement, went and sought Saul out and hung out with him when he wasn't so popular. Verse 30, it says, when the believers learned this, they took him down to Caesarea and they sent him off to Tarsus. And then we jump ahead again in Acts chapter 11. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word amongst the Jews. Some of them, however, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks, also telling them about the good news of Jesus Christ. So there's this revival going on in Antioch. The Lord's hand was on them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So this is exciting stuff. You know what's happening in our church? People are coming to Christ. People are accepting Christ. People are coming in to the church and asking to find Jesus. I believe that we are going to see more and more and more of that, because that is the reason we exist. We do not exist for any other reason except to preach the gospel, share the gospel, and love people. And when we get that understanding and we get that life inside of us, then there's just going to be a revival that takes place. Now, I'm not big on let's make this the Toronto Airport too. People fly in from all over the world. If God decides to do something like that, fine. But right now, we have this area to do that in. And I think God is being very successful in that, using us today. I'm excited. So many people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem. And who did they send? They sent Barnabas to Antioch. You know, I really like somebody, and I guard my pulpit very, very powerfully, because I believe that I want you to be encouraged, you to be blessed, you to be ministered to when somebody preaches from here. I believe that's why you come, and it's just it's not the happy hour. I'm talking about the Spirit hour, the Spirit-anointed hour, that you should walk out of here knowing that you met with God. So I feel that's my responsibility when I preach to you, and anybody who stands behind that pulpit has that same responsibility. And if I don't feel that they do, they don't stand here. I've been through that already. One time I had a guy come in one of our churches, and we had this little church, and this guy came in, and he just was relentless. He was calling people down, and people, when he preached, people were fearful. It wasn't a whole bunch of people. It was a small town. But we had an outreach, and that's why we brought him in. And even with my staff, he sat a couple of them down and talked to them in a negative way. And they came and told me. And so I went to him. He still had a couple of meetings left. And I went to him, and I said, "Did you say this?" And he said, "Yes, I said that." I said, "Did you? Here's one of the examples. He was preaching down in the community, and he had a bit of loudspeaker on his car, and he was, you know, and had music and stuff like this, and there was a First Nation community right there, and they complained to the police, and we had a couple of interns working with us, and the police came down and said, "We need you to quieten this down, and maybe you could move on." And he said, "No, I don't have to. I've freedom to do this." I was out fishing. Thankfully, I was out fishing. Well, you think, what's going on, preacher? You're out fishing? Well, we had 4 or 5 days of meeting, and I just needed to take a break. So when I got back, I heard about this. And as the police went to move him, he yelled to one of our interns, "Get a camera. This is persecution." I thought, no, this isn't. You should have gone to jail in a hard takedown. That's what that's my feeling. And anyways, so I addressed him about this, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "That's persecution." I said, "No, it isn't. It's being stupid." He says, "People, you're too loud, and you're actually causing difficulty here. And so you're not bringing the gospel. You're chasing people away from it." So anyways, I said, "Because of this, I don't want you to preach anymore." So that's pretty wild, because you already got him booked for like a couple more meetings, and I just said, "No, I'm not going to have you do that, because you're doing more damage than you're doing good." And he really came down hard on me. Oh, my goodness. So that's how you treat your evangelists, eh? That's what you're going to... I guess you're not going to pay me either. I'm like, come on, bozo. We're going to pay you. Oh, bozo. That's my own interpretation. I'm going to pay you, but you're just not going to speak anymore, because you do not have the encouragement. You do not have the Spirit of God. You got some anger inside of you, and you don't have a right to anger from the pulpit. You do not have a right to do anything other than let God speak through you. And if you got some problems, get them straightened out before you go to the pulpit, or don't go. Because you don't have this as a vehicle to vent. So anyways, he did go, and I took the last meetings. But he damaged the people that were working with me, the staff that was there. So the encourager, Barnabas, they said, "Hey, Barney, head over to Antioch. Things are awesome. We want you to be there because you're positive. I like Brent Cantalong to come and preach in our church because he's positive. He's moving around the world and seeing God do some things. I love us to hear about that." But then he just doesn't tell us stories. He gives us opportunity to have stories of our own, because he believes in the Pentecost. He believes in the move of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we're going to celebrate that next weekend. I like that. I got some other friends that are in ministry that I love to have come and preach, because they will encourage you. They know how to encourage, and I want us to be encouraged in the Lord. And so when Barnabas came, the Lord's hand was on them. A great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Oh, and they sent him. I just read that over. Verse 23 says, when he arrived and saw the grace of God, what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He encouraged them all to remain true. Isn't that great? He didn't try to upset the last preacher. He just said, hey, this is awesome. God is doing some great things. God, I tell everybody, even at this situation where somebody said I had too much weight and not enough hair, they said, so how are things going in Richmond? And I said, they're going awesome. God is moving. People are getting saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, healed. There's people just getting their lives changed. I get excited and I'm telling everyone I can, and it is the truth. And this church is exciting to me, and it's exciting for me to be able to tell those stories. I pray that it's exciting for you in your life, that you are connecting in with the living God and that he's changing your life and that he's meeting your needs. We need to have that in our lives. That's what we exist for. And here's what Luke, we think was a writer of Acts, said about Joel. Barnabas Joel. He was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. He is a good man, a good woman, a good person. He's a person that comes in and he brings oxygen into the room. He doesn't suck it out. He brings light into the room where there's darkness. He's a good man. And they could tell he is full of the Holy Spirit. How could they do that? Because they could discern. You need to be able to discern. You need to be able to connect with people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that makes any difference in any ministry and in any life. It's the Holy Spirit that we need to have move in us and through us to touch people's lives. So he was a good man and filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. Man, you got to have faith. The just shall live by faith. You gotta believe that God is able to do what he said he's able to do. And if he is, then you need to live that. And when you can live that kind of a life, you can be positive. You can be encouraging. I know a lot of people, even our kids, were going through a situation where the house that they were renting was sold, and then they didn't have anywhere to go and they wanted to stay in Gibson's. This is just in the last couple of months. And there was nowhere there for them to live. Prices were crazy and they didn't have enough for a down payment. And I said, you know what? God knows your new address. He knows where you're going to live. He knows your neighbors. He knows everything about the house. He knows the color. He knows the driveway. He knows everything. He knows what's behind the house. He knows every house. Every room in that house. He knows it all. When you're looking for it, you just say, well, why don't you show me? Right? So just this last week, a deal came together where not only they don't have to rent a house, but somebody's come alongside them so that they can buy a house. Isn't that awesome? So they can live in Gibson's and pastor in Gibson's as long as God's called them to do that. And they're not paying any more in rent or in payments than they were in rent. So maybe right now you're wondering, like, God, you got to come through because there's something I need in my life and I just haven't got an answer. Let me be an encourager to you that God already knows the answer. He already knows your new address. He already knows your new job. He already knows the results of your tests. He knows all those kind of things because he loves you and cares for you. He's got his hand in that. And you got to take that by faith. Because it says in Matthew 6, that if you seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, all these things. And there's a whole list of them above that. We just kind of quote that chunk of that. But there's a whole list of all the things that the heathens run after. You can sleep better at night if you don't have to worry about those things. God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That is not just your physical needs, but that's your spiritual needs as well. and the peace in your mind that guards your heart, that passes all your understanding. Those are the promises that God has for each one of you, and that should encourage you. So he is a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Don't you like hanging around with those kind of people? They're kind of fun to be around. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. They'd separated in the book of Acts there. And when he found him, what did he do? He said, come on, you should see what's happened in Antioch. He said, Saul, you got to get there because you'll be encouraged in what the Lord and the Spirit of God is doing in these people's lives. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christians. Christ followers. Christ-like. People saw in Antioch. They saw that these people were a reflection of Jesus Christ. They weren't Jesus Christ, but they walked and they talked and they breathed and they believed the same way that Jesus had taught them. And they were encouraged. So, encouragers are optimists. They'll drive you nuts if you're in a dark space. Because they'll go, hey, I can shine a light in here. And you might think, I don't want the light shining in here because it's dark and I don't really feel very good about this. Optimists are people that they just see, they see things in a positive way. They, you know, it's that glass half full, the glass half empty. And they go, what glass? Like, come on. It's full in Christ. Your life is full. I've come to give you life abundantly. How's the glass? Abundant, full. That's how it is. Well, I don't see that. Well, where's your faith? Faith comes in. Now, I'm not just saying, okay, well, just take me at my word. Don't take me ever at my word. Take him at his word. All right? Don't ever take me at my word because I am only a messenger. And I am pleased and blessed to be that messenger. They see the big picture. They're big picture people. They can see things way better. And they comfort. They're encouragers. They light up the room when they enter. They're risk takers. Because they don't see things tangible, but they'll step out and do them anyway. And they're also able to correct when needed. Because, see, when you're encouraging somebody, it doesn't mean that you just leave them in their situation. But you don't tear them apart and then build them up. You encourage them in their situation so that they can be encouraged. Pastor Randy, would you come? Team, come. So maybe you're here this morning and you need to be reminded that God has made you an encourager. And maybe the devil's come in and kind of slipped some pretty heavy-duty things in, and you used to be an encourager, and you're just really struggling with that right now. God wants to bring you back to that place. Maybe you need to be encouraged. Maybe you're going through something that's really scary, something that's really difficult. I tell you, that's happening in people's lives right here in this room. I want to encourage you that Christ is absolutely in control. And you just need to lean into him this morning. You might not have the answer, but the one who is the answer is Jesus.